the rest of the story. The prison guard called out, "You have a visitor." Slowly the young man began to stir in his cell. The iron barred door clanked open and Catherine stepped inside. For what seemed a long time, she and the young man locked eyes in a cold, unrelenting stare. "I should be free," he stammered. "I do not belong here." Catherine remained silent. The young man's appearance astonished her. He was emaciated, barefoot, dressed in a tattered, soiled sailor's uniform. His complexion was gray, his reddish beard was long and matted, his eyes were haggard and sunken. Behind those eyes lurked a strange, haunting vacancy, the atrophy of many years of solitary confinement. Catherine turned to the jailer and asked about the prisoner's behavior. "He walks in circles," was the answer. "Mutters to himself, sometimes cries out." "What's his name?" Catherine asked. "How do the other guards refer to him?" "Nobody knows his rightful name," the jailer said. And thus he had earned the ambiguous appellation prisoner number one. Unquestionably, Catherine was pleased. She made no remark, nor did she smile, but the expression of satisfaction on her face upon hearing of the prisoner's anonymity was unmistakable. She turned to the young man. "Who are your parents?" she demanded. "Where are they now?" The prisoner stammered something barely intelligible. He had no idea. Catherine nodded, again with a barely perceptible expression of relief. "That will do," she said at last. And then she left, turned her back on the cell, on its darkness, on the misery of its sole inhabitant. And the fortress at Kexholm was silent once more, save for an occasional piteous cry from the dungeon, the living tomb of prisoner number one. This is the rest of the story. At the time of the unexpected visit you've just relived, the young man with no name was 22. Iron bars and damp walls and abusive jailers had been his only evidence of reality since the age of 6. To the outside world, he had ceased to exist. He lived only as a wretched memory for his mother Elizabeth, who had discarded him there, later for Catherine, whose only proof of his presence on Earth was the trip to Kexholm, which you just made with her. As Catherine left the fortress that night, she imparted these orders to those in charge. Double the guard on the cell of prisoner number one, and should any attempt be made to free him, kill him. For as doubtless you have guessed, the one and only visitor to the dungeon depository of that hapless young man was Catherine the Great, the 18th century Empress of Russia. And as surely you could have predicted, a year later the young man was stabbed to death in his cell. Had his existence become generally known, Catherine's enemies, in freeing him, could have cast her from the throne. But the threat died with prisoner number one, who had been proclaimed in his infancy Ivan the Sixth, rightful heir to the purple and gold. Throughout his lifelong incarceration, he amused prison guards with a seemingly ludicrous utterance, something he would shout from time to time, "I am the Emperor." Now you know what they never knew. He was right. And that is the rest of the story.